First Thessalonians. Just as reviews, starting in verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. So that's what we're going to study, that verse 9. Brotherly love is Philadelphia, and touching is peri, P-E-R-Y. And it means, in this case, it means that that whole phrase, it's touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you're taught of God. So it's axiomatic. I mean, he's just repeating something that everybody should know already, that you were taught of God, not men. And write is grapho, which just means the same word that's used for scriptures, is grapho. You're taught of God. Now, taught of God, there's a whole lot we need to look at here. It's theodoktos. It means that the way it was used in the common Greek language, it was the ones who received the oracles of God. So like in Greece, there's the famous, most famous oracle is the Oracle of Delphi. And that's where everybody went to get their, what God was saying. And what he's saying here is that every believer has the capacity to be that oracle of God, that you're taught directly of God and not of man. And so let's look at, see if we can see that. The same word, theodidaktos, is used in Revelation 1. Let's look at it. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So the idea that John got the revelation directly from God or an angel of God, the word theodidaktos. Now, what does that mean to us? Let's go to Jeremiah 30-something or other, 31.
Which word there was theodidaktos signified?
No, it's the whole phrase which God gave unto him, the revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him.
It's like another way of saying it.
Yeah. Jeremiah 31. That was a wrong place. Verse 27. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so now will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape and the children's teeth are on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity, and every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day. I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it on their hearts, and they shall and will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. I will forgive, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I'll remember their sin no more. Now this prophecy came in 596 B.C. And it's obviously speaking of this day of Pentecost, when the law is written in our hearts. So let's go and see what it says about that in the New Testament. Go to Hebrews 8. My pages are sticking together. Let's start in verse 6. Well, it says, we have to go back up to 3. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, he saith, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, saith the Lord. Saith with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law into their mind and write them in their heart, and I'll be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And that he saith, A new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Now, what is the idea that the gospel was preached unto all men? That is not what we think of as preaching. It was declared. It was revealed to all men. And until we get that in our heads, then we're going to sit around thinking we're going to learn something. The only issue, singular issue, whether it's you or somebody in Samoa or somebody in Somalia or somebody in any other S word, all it requires is for you to have come to the end of yourself, and that in that emptying, there he is. Now, this is, I don't, for some reason, and it says this all over the scriptures. But everybody still thinks I have to go and make converts. And no, all we are called to do is to show forth the emptiness and vanity and futility of all human effort. Because the axe has been laid to the trees. There is, from God's perspective, the sea is no more. And it's not some difficult thing that you have to learn. It's simply having the courage to live by faith. That means total emptying, total reliance on God for the next moment, for every next singular moment. Now is the only accepted time. Never yesterday and never tomorrow. Now is the only accepted time. Amen? What?
Amen.
You're doing something.
Oh, just
see lightning is hanging out.
I'm a little turning. Oh, just thinking about the entire universe of my brain or anybody's entire being, which is all emanates from the meat in your head. It's like all that stuff is just going to be blown up in a balloon and sent away. You can't use any of it in the realm of faith.
It's why it's in the justice of God, it's the simplest thing there is to all men. There's nothing complicated. Simply coming to the end of yourself. And you stop asking, what shall I do? Or what do I think about this? Or what would you do about that? You simply be. No more trying to be. No more striving to be. No more effort. Simple relaxation seated on the mercy seat in Him. So simple. Now, all it takes is for you to know that everything else is empty and futile and fruitless, without purpose. Now let's go to 2 John. Just go to the right a few pages. I mean 1 John, I'm sorry. 1 John, 2 chapter. Verse 15. Now remember the word love, when used as a verb, just simply means giving any importance to, giving any breath to. You got that? You know the difference between a noun and a verb? This noun for love is agapeo, common word in the Greek language. Means what you give importance to, what you give breath to. So listen, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Period. If you give importance to anything in the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, if you want to argue with that, then argue with God, or argue with the Scriptures. Now, what's in the world? What does this mean? It means anything in time and space. That's considered, that's the world. The type of it was Egypt in the Old Testament. We go through this every day until we get it, but Every man is born in the world. And every man tries to get to the best of the world, which in the scriptures typified by the land of Goshen. And you try everything in you. You scheme and make devices, cunning devices, and you learn and you move and breathe, and you are automatically trying to get to what you think is the best in the world, or that which you think will satisfy, or you think that you will arrive at somehow. And then the plagues come. And the plagues are not optional. The plagues happen to all men. We don't go through all of them, but the first of the 10 plagues is that the river of life is turned into blood. And it smells and it stench. And so all the things that before you gave breath to, that you thought would give you life or meaning, become turned into rotten blood, smelly. Now if that hasn't happened, then go do whatever the thing is that you think you've got to do. But if you can learn and by experience or by empathy, if you can see it in others, then you can come and truly understand what repentance means. Turning away from everything to that moment of faith, that moment of emptiness. And then the trek starts, except the trek is already finished because we're already on the mercy seat. We're already at the top of the pyramid. We're already the highest that man can be once you empty yourself. And everything else is God's business. Everything. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. So stop giving importance to you. You have been bought with a price. Unless you think you're so special that the sacrifice of the Son of God wasn't enough to meet your need. And then you're just a simple fool. It doesn't matter what condition, what situation, cuts across everything. So now, once you've seen that, or once you've at least glimpsed it, then you love not the world. It's not a commandment, it's a what is. Nor the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I promise you, this goes against everything you have ever been taught. Everything that you've ever thought. Amen? What, Gary? You're doing it again. Why are you so easy to read?
You said you don't read people.
I was telling you a story. I was trying to make you feel safe.
What?
Feel safe.
I don't even understand what you just said. You always do that, though.
What, Gary?
What, Gary?
I'm digesting. Words don't just slide off of me too easily. Sink in.
Have you found an exception?
An exception?
To what the scripture says.
The only thing I was thinking exception-wise is that Christ is all and in all. Ever placed, but that there's a difference between the world and seeing him in all things. That's what I'm saying.
The difference is excusing sloth.
Well, to see Christ in everything is sloth.
Well, if you continue loving the world because you're saying Christ is in everything, then you're excusing sloth.
Yeah, you love God as the important thing, and then you don't love the world as important. You know, I guess if you're using that word, it's like, what do you give importance to? God alone. And then everything else in the universe and the world and everything suddenly is infused with its own significance of what it's supposed to be doing. You know, whether it's testing or, you know, that's
a picture of it.
But it's not your business.
It's not our business. But that's what happens when you see God in everything, is to see that.
That's what I mean.
He's everywhere doing that, but the importance is on the God part.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Isaiah 54. I had all kinds of intentions of moving rapidly through this morning.
You say 54?
54. What?
We don't move rapidly.
We're all too old.
Yeah.
We don't even go to the bathroom rapidly anymore.
Well, by we, TMI. You mean you. Really, that one.
That's old farts. I can't help it. Stop picking on me. We're gonna read the whole chapter, 54, and I want you to understand that from the first part of this, is we've just gone through this whole thing of Isaiah 53. We've seen the end, the receiving of the results. We're done with everything, and so now sing, O barren, thou that did not bear. Why do we sing? We sing because we're barren, empty. Without anything, arid, dry, no more ideas, no more green things in us. That's why out of Zion, out of that aridity, is that a word? Totally arid, nothing growing.
Aridness.
What?
Aridness.
What?
Sing, you're free.
Okay, sing, O barren that did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Humanity is massive, but the married ones are few. I'm not talking about after the flesh. I'm talking about betrothed to the God. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. Take it to the end of everything. That's the only way that you find out what's true, as we've said so often. In Hebrew is the only language I know of where truth is defined correctly. It's defined, truth is that which doesn't change with time. It's the same in every situation. So stretch forth, if you're giving breath to anything that changes with time, then go do it. Go try to do it. Don't live in the vanity of your mind. Amen? For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. But they're not inhabited. It's still from your appearance. It's still looking. You're still empty. You're still desolate. But from God's standpoint, a whole new thing has happened. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thine Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and the Redeemer of the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but now with great mercies will I gather thee. And a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, But with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundation with sapphires. And I will make thy windows agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. No more teaching of men. Great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shall thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire and bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, whose righteousness is only of me, saith the Lord. They shall all be taught of God. Not trying to use your mind. You can't use that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed. It's impossible. And all the gelling and digesting has to go out the window. Do you understand how it's automatic? We think we use the things, that which is cursed, to try to understand that which is blessed. And you never learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Having a form of godliness, but denying his efficacy within you. At every step, it has to be this.
What's cool is this thing about it's describing the New Jerusalem.
Amen.
There with all the agates and the stones, yeah, and all that. Yeah. It's like, we know from the thing we just read in Revelation, it's presented to us as a person. You know, that's the Theo Didache or whatever it is you're saying.
Right, like, taught of God.
It's the Word that is himself.
Amen. But my point, and this is, you have to see, the only thing that you can use your mind for is to see futility and emptiness. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sin is a scarlet. You can't, all reason can only take you to chaos.
But in actual churches, there's lots of teaching. Or is it all preaching? Like here?
If anybody thinks they're learning and there's teaching, they're not hearing right. You already are taught of God. The only thing that I can be, or anyone else can be, is a witness for that which you already know. And it sparks. When you hear what you already know, there's a spark. Amen?
That is so freedom.
You don't have to sit around worrying about understanding or all the very... You have to follow your own hunger. Even if it's looking for loopholes. Amen?
Amen.
What? You know where I'm going. What, Gary?
It's the mystery of emptiness. The mind thinks gaining stuff, information, will achieve the result.
How's that worked out for you?
Are you doing this?
Seriously.
You need some
I'll pick up somebody else.
I lost my hard drive, and it was the last 7 years of my life, and it's completely gone. And for about 24 hours, I was cursing God in about six languages. I couldn't believe it, and then I just started laughing.
Amen.
And realized how amazing that was.
Before I knew what a hard drive was, I used, the only thing I knew is when I knew about computers is that we had all these little punch cards.
Yeah, yeah.
We had stacks of punch cards for everything you wanted to do. And so what I used to use the example of, you got this mile-high stack of
floppy disks.
Floppy disks instead of punch cards. And every single one of them is crap. And the only thing that God demands is that you, in this case, throw away your hard drive.
Or get it lost
if you don't learn anything.
If you don't learn that lesson, he'll lose it for you.
That's what this whole thing about stretch, what does it say? Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thy habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes. Again, as I've said so often, you can prove to yourself anything if your boundaries are narrow enough. You can prove any lie, any aspect of Scripture. You take a couple of verses of Scripture, and you can create a theology because you've narrowed it down.
It's been done.
It's done every day. Here. But enlarge them. Lengthen the cords. Test everything by, is it true? And you'll find there's only one that meets the standard. Anybody have anything else? Any response? Mr. Santa? Anna Rosanna Dana?
That was sweet.
Amen?
Amen.
Take it big, guy.
What about Tony? And Tony Ono?
So the question is, why do I pick on Gary?